attendance is Representative Jewell, Representative Crawford, Speaker Chenault, Representative Ramirez. It's 15 minutes past 5. We are delighted to convene the Special Committee on Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism. Today we're going to take up the CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 21. Also joining us today is Representative Tuck. This bill is to creating and relating to the Economic Development Planning Commission. And we have some folks that are ready to testify, and I'm not sure who is going to introduce this bill from us from House CNRA. Please come forward. I understand the impetus behind this bill is Representative Osterman and Representative Herron. And if you'll introduce yourself for the record and with whose office you're affiliated, I'd be very grateful.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rob Earl, staff to Representative Herron.
Right on, Rob. Welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I believe the committee has a CS before them.
We do. CS is 26-LS1446/S. Cook. We also want to welcome into the room our friend Representative Munoz, and Deputy Commissioner Thayer is here, along with my lifelong friend Sue Bell. Hi, Sue.
Mr. Chairman, if you'd like me to go over the changes in the CS, I could do so relatively quickly.
If you could take us not just through the CS, but since this is the first time we see it, if you could just take us through what the piece of legislation does. Representative Osterman has also joined us in the room. Nice to see you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, the PowerPoint should kind of get into more of the meat of the
Okay.
With your leave, I could start
sure.
with the changes.
Somebody take down this. Could you just flip just half those lights for us, please? Thank you.
Okay, HCR 21, Creating an Economic Development Planning Commission, is sponsored by the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee. The co-chairs are Representatives Munoz and Herron. And as you mentioned, Representative Osterman and his staff have been very helpful in helping out with this bill. The resolution creates a 10-member Economic Development Commission, which may act as sort of a task force in the legislative branch. It'll be funded through Ledge Council budget, were it to become law. This is sort of an HCR, sort of like a letter from the legislature to itself. So this legislation does not need to be signed by the governor, and it's not subject to veto. The idea behind the commission is that there's all these economic development planning processes going on that we'll get into a little bit later. And the commission would serve as sort of a bridge between those ideas and implementation by reporting to the legislature and the governor these strategies and by offering some draft legislation. Two members of the commission are legislators, so they would have access to legislative legal to help draft that legislation. And the commission is set to sunset June 30th, 2012. With that, Mr. Chairman, if Representative Osterman's staff could come up and talk about a few slides.
Is the pressure getting to you, Rob?
Maybe a little bit, sir.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know what the rules are of your committee, but it seems like every committee I have a bill in front of, they make me get up in front of them. I mean, I know that you're the chairman, and
Mr. Speaker, with all due respect, Representative Osterman intimidates me, so I let him do pretty much anything he wants. I can't get him from the back of the room. I've had him in here a couple of times. I can't get him up to the front of the room. But if you want to exercise some of your leverage, I'd be very grateful.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, I was thinking more along Representative Herron.
I don't even think he's in the room.
Well, he's lucky.
And I told him this was. I told him this was going to a subcommittee, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, would it be okay if Representative Osterman's staff approached the podium?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well,
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome. I'd like to also recognize Vice Chair Representative Newman is in the room.
Thank you. For the record, my name's Erin Harrington, and I'm staff to Representative Osterman. I don't think that Rob is flustered. I think he's great.
If I may.
So HCR 21 achieves a couple of purposes. First, it creates a tool by which the legislature can monitor some of the ongoing economic development initiatives that are rolling around in the state of Alaska right now. I'll talk to you in more detail about a couple of those in a minute. Secondly, and importantly, it creates a mechanism for the legislature to collaborate with the private sector and to identify places where state government can appropriately engage into supporting economic development initiatives.
Erin, at this time, I want to go ahead and establish the subcommittee that's going to look into this piece of legislation. Our friend Representative Herron has just joined us in the back of the room. Anyway, please continue.
Thank you. So it gives the legislature an opportunity to engage directly with members of the private sector to talk about economic development and to identify places where the state has an appropriate role in economic development and to formulate ideas to bring before the full legislature for potential action. Also importantly, this responds to an identified shortcoming in some of the previous economic development efforts that have occurred in the state, where folks have identified challenges at the level of implementation. And we have heard from a number of people that sometimes we are able to have the administration and the public engaged in conversations, or the legislature and the public engaged in conversations. This ensures that the legislature will be actively engaged or have the opportunity to be actively engaged in some of these processes that are going on in the state. So what are these processes? There are a couple specific ones and then more general ones. First and foremost, there's the Alaska Forward process. The Alaska Forward process is being led by the Alaska Partnership for Economic Development, which is an umbrella group that comprises the ARDRs that operate around the state. And they've recently changed their bylaws to include some additional organizations. I believe one of them is the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. And I did notice that Wayne Stevens is in the room. Alaska Forward, the project received $500,000 from the Denali Commission to initiate a strategic planning process to develop a state economic development strategic plan. That's state with a small s, not state with a large s, so that's Alaska as opposed to the state of Alaska. Right now, they've completed phase one and they're working on pulling the funding together for phase two. Phase two will, from what I've heard, have roughly twice that budget. And that will be where the real work is done. Another process that's been going on is the legacy process, and that was set up by an administrative order under the Palin administration. That project has been shifting, and Susan Bell from the governor's office is here to talk to you about what that looks like underneath the leadership of Governor Parnell. But that is, I should say, was also intended to be a long-term strategic planning effort related to economic development. And I think that it is still, but it is morphing. There are some other regional or industry-specific groups and efforts, and I'm not going to belabor those, but I just wanted to show you this chart that comes out of the Phase 1 report from Alaska Forward. It identifies some of the different organizations that are involved in economic development efforts at state, regional, and borough municipal levels. With this commission that would be set up through this resolution, of course, the commission would have the opportunity to interact with any of those to try to develop good ideas. Some of the kinds of opportunities that the commission may have the opportunity to identify, they may identify financial tools that would need to be set in place through statutory action that could support economic development. These could be loan programs, incentive and tax programs. I'll note that in December of this year, Representative Osterman presented a report to the Community and Regional Affairs that details some of the kinds of programs that exist in other states, and I'd be happy to provide copies of those to anyone that's interested. The efforts can also target some particular industry clusters that are being developed through some of these efforts and help to support with specified programs various clusters. Another thing that this commission does is it allows the legislature to engage proactively with some of these organizations to identify needs and potentially prepare draft legislation in advance of legislative sessions. And it recognizes the foreshortened time frame under which you operate, and it gives you a chance to have things before you to consider the reporting deadlines for this commission precede each of the upcoming two legislative sessions. Other things that they might look at, they could possibly look at restructuring the operations of the Department of Commerce Community Economic Development as they relate to economic development. These are just ideas. These aren't recommendations, but just to give you an idea about some of the kinds of things that they could be engaged in. And with that, I will let Rob go ahead and continue to talk to you about the resolution.
Thank you, Aaron. A little more nuts and the bolts of the bill, Mr. Chairman. If you can see, this slide shows the appointment authority for the various members. Co-chairs of both bodies have a big role in appointing. Note that the two commissioners at the bottom, they are automatically appointed, and they are ex officio non-voting members. And all members will serve until the sunset date, June 30th, 2012. A little bit about the timeline of the ideas associated here. The Alaska Forward Phase 1 report, perhaps you saw this delivered to your office, this booklet here, that was delivered at the end of February, beginning of March. The last three lines of the CS, Mr. Chairman, says that the commission can begin work when members are appointed or April 30th, whichever is earlier. January 30th, 2011 is the first legislative report deadline, right towards the beginning of the 2011 session. We had considered December 15th, but decided they needed more time for their first report. And this next bullet, your printed paper will probably disagree with the screen here, but the Alaska Forward Phase 2, they're looking at a summit possibly in May. It's still tentative. That would kind of kick off that phase, and a report would follow many months later. And then there's another reporting deadline before the session 2012. And the commission would sunset after the 2012 session to have time to wrap up. And I should point out that Marty Mativa, who's kind of running the AK Forward project, should be online. He could talk more about that. This slide just shows that there's kind of this general consensus out there that there's a lack of cohesive thinking on economic development in Alaska. The Alaska Forward project is certainly helping with this. But we feel this commission will help implement those ideas they come up with. Just to sort of review all the documents you have in front of you, Mr. Chairman, the first four kind of basic elements are there in the first bullet. The Alaska Forward executive summary is in front of you. That's just the first portion of this booklet. The legacy process, there should be a little outline, and Susan Bell's here more to talk more about that later. This economic development in state government booklet that Representative Osterman staff came up with, the first eight pages should be in your packet, as well as this PowerPoint. And these last two bullets, Representative Herron requested this research report that is easily available from Wedge Research. And alanosterman.com has an excellent economic development library that you might consider perusing at some point. And Mr. Chairman, the fiscal note, about $130,000 total. The bulk of that is a range 21C to staff the commission. And this council would be paying for this. You can see that there's $11,000 for travel budgeted, about $11,000 for per diem. And the assumptions that this fiscal note was written under. And with that, Mr. Chairman, we stand open for questions as you like.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Rob or Aaron? Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Can you hit the lights for us, please?
Rob, I'm a little disappointed to see that there's no input there from minority members. Anything in choosing or the people being chosen. Have we mentioned that we wanted input from the minority side of the legislature? So kind of disappointed in that.
Rob, I thought with Senate Finance co-chairs, there are certainly both parties represented, so minority members, it depends on how you...
I said minority. I didn't say party members.
Okay. Duly noted. Representative Newman?
To Aaron, is there anything that would it not allow either the Speaker or the Senate President or any of the co-chairs from appointing a minority member?
Representative Newman, through the chair, no, I don't think that there's anything that would prevent one of them from appointing a minority.
I didn't think I read anything there that said it had to be a minority
member. Any other questions for Rob or Aaron? Mr. Speaker?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if this is the right time to talk about it. On your list of appointees, I don't know if there was what thought was put into that, but being the Speaker, and I won't speak for the President, I would assume that either the Speaker or the President would choose the representatives to be appointed to the committee and not the finance co-chairs. And also on your slide, you have finance co-chairs, but in the work draft that we're working off of, it says appointed by the chair or jointly by the co-chairs of finance. So maybe that's something that's being addressed somewhere else that I just haven't seen yet, but just a couple of concerns that I had.
And that's, Mr. Speaker, just for those that are keeping those records, that's on page 2, lines 4 through
6.
4 through 6. Okay, duly noted. All right, well, any other questions? We may take some public testimony, and while we're taking our testimony, if you have any recommendations to us, if your intent was to keep it the way that it appears in the work draft, we're happy to do that. If you want it to, if you want this to resemble what was presented in the PowerPoint, you might talk to Representative Osterman or Heron in the back of the room and help us interpret what kind of an amendment we should offer to this so that it correlates better with the PowerPoint we saw. And while we take public testimony, you have an opportunity to do that.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, the PowerPoint is lined up with what is in the CS version S. When I wrote this up and just said the co-chairs, just because now there's co-chairs, I kind of simplified that from Representative Chenault's comment that the chair, if there was just a chair, he could appoint as well.
Mr. Speaker?
Mr. Chairman, maybe I just misunderstood that. When I looked at the word chair in there, I was thinking that would be the Ledge Council chair, since they were going to be under the privy of Ledge Council. So that was how I understood it. Maybe I'm misreading it, Mr. Chairman, and if I am, I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Because we have the underlying sponsors of the resolution in the back of the room, I'd encourage you just to go huddle up with them while we take public testimony and then come back to us before we pass the bill out of committee today. And we'll make sure we're all aligned with the Speaker's interests and that we respect Representative Crawford's interests and, above all, respect the interests of the underlying sponsor of the resolution. Thank you very much for your testimony. We appreciate it. Okay, well, we have in the room Sue Bell and Wayne Stevens, and then online we have Andy Varner with Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference, Marty Mativa with APED, Christy Bell with University of Alaska Economic Development, and then available to answer questions, Ted Leonard with ADA, and Tam Cook from Ledge Legal. Sue, would you like to come up? And it's a privilege to have my lifelong friend testifying. If you just introduce yourself for the record and what you do for the governor, so I appreciate it.
I think Susan Bell, I'm a special assistant in the governor's office, and I work with the Departments of Revenue and Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, and am a 1981 graduate of Lathrop.
That girl.
You laid the groundwork. We've been working on four fronts related to economic, to simplify it, and I'll wrap up with legacy, but definitely with the governor's office, I've had the privilege of serving as a steering committee member on Alaska Forward, and I know that's going to be spoken to in a moment, but we see some dovetailing with legacy, and so I just wanted to specifically mention that I've been part of the phase one process and actively engaged in where that's going. We've certainly been working at the departmental level in staffing, bolstering the Office of Economic Development, and also thinking about where the department and that specific division speak up, where the division is going. Third, of course, there's a number of legislative bills that the governor introduced focus on economic development. And then the fourth piece, again, this is over the course of the last 4 or 5 months, the fourth piece that has been part of the governor's plan is preserving some elements from legacy, an economic development planning process that was established by administrative order by Governor Palin. Governor Parnell was very interested in preserving several elements. One of them was there was a sub-cabinet level planning team that included commissioners or their designees from DCCED, Department of Labor, Department of Transportation, the executive directors of AHFC, AEA, and ADA, the University of Alaska president or their designee, and a representative from the Office of the Governor. Again, legacy included this sub-cabinet level group, and the governor wanted to preserve that, and through the revisions that are underway to the administrative order, he's bolstering that group with some additional departments, but it's still under consideration. Two, legacy formed a number of industry-specific work groups, and the governor has been reviewing the interim reports that were prepared by them. The work groups were launched at a public event in late July in Anchorage, and there were, I believe, 13 of them, including forest products, seafood, tourism, mining, small business development. I can go on, but again, a number of industry-specific work groups were established. Again, with the transition between the two administrations, they were asked to produce an interim draft report by early October. The governor has reviewed those. The governor's staff and DCCE staff has reviewed those, pulled information out to explore in economic development opportunities. And he has, the governor's had an opportunity to meet with several of the industry groups moving forward. We are beginning to resume scheduling again with some of those work groups. As I mentioned, I've been part of Alaska Forward, which the slide briefly mentioned, industry clusters. As we move into future phases of Alaska Forward, I see an opportunity for the work group process that was begun under legacy to mesh at a future point in time with what will be described as industry cluster groups under Alaska Forward. Again, bringing some of our state leaders, regional leaders, and industry representatives together with from the private sector with support from various state agencies. So again, I see emerging at some point in the future, but in the meantime, we're still, again, we've reviewed the reports that were produced by legacy and using them as ad hoc groups to meet with the governor. I think those are the highlights that I wanted to hit. I can answer any questions. As I mentioned, we've been focusing on bolstering staff and advancing legislation that the governor is very interested in. And I see in the context of this commission that will be developed, it'll be another body that will be very instrumental in helping us implement things that are coming out of a number of these different initiatives as well as our own departments.
Thank you, Sue. Representative Newman.
Mr. Chair, I got this cold going on. It's hard for me to hear. Hard for me to hear anyhow. Emerging, you talked about emerging of different entities, I believe. But could you kind of
a number of Alaska citizens were asked to come to, you know, speak up and also scoop this closer. We're asked to participate in the work group process through Legacy, and again, having being able to sit in the governor's office and see one process that's evolving, which is the Alaska Forward process, and then also see what work had come before my joining the governor's office late last year. What I have talked with Alaska Forward steering committee members, DCCED staff, and the governor's office that, you know, again, we're bringing it, I see a point that we can bring these two efforts together rather than having two independent sets of work groups on forest products, on seafood, that there's a logical point in phase two of Alaska Forward to bring some of these business leaders from our state into what I think is a larger, more comprehensive effort and still yet preserve opportunities for the governor to interact personally with the private sector and to preserve the sub-cabinet level group that I had mentioned, again, for implementation, whether the ideas are coming out of Alaska Forward, out of Legacy, from the legislature, or from our departmental staff. That I think that group is, it'll be valuable going forward.
Before we end, Mr. Chair, are we going to be able to hear from the Deputy Commissioner?
I think it's quite appropriate that we hear from the Deputy Commissioner, but I wanted to get background from Sue first.
That's what I meant at the end.
Yeah, indeed. You know, questions for Sue? And Sue, thank you for your work in leading a delegation to Miami to the SeaTrade and the work that you've done for the tourism industry. It's super commendable. It's great. Thank you very much. All right. Wayne Stevens is here in the room, and then we'll go to those folks that are online. Wayne, you want to come on up and offer us your testimony. We're happy to see you. Deputy Commissioner, you'll be hitting cleanup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Wayne Stevens. I'm President and CEO of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. The Alaska State Chamber is a statewide nonprofit membership-funded organization whose mission is to promote a positive business environment in Alaska. Our members represent a broad spectrum of Alaska business, from the resource and tourism industry, service and transportation sector, native corporations, and a variety of other business interests. Each year, our membership defines its legislative priorities and positions. Development of a strategic economic development plan has been one of our top legislative priorities in recent years. We've worked very closely with the collaborative development of the Legacy Plan, the Alaska Forward Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy Initiative for Alaska. We support those efforts, and we support the efforts of HCR 21 to bring the legislative piece of that puzzle to the table. We believe firmly that strategic economic development can't happen in a vacuum. If the business community brings to the legislature a plan, you'd say thank you very much, but it doesn't include what we think is important, and so it goes to its side. If the governor's office brings one forward, the same thing happens. So it's critical from our perspective that the legislature, the administration, the business community, and the university work collaboratively to create a strategic economic development plan for Alaska's future, and certainly as we look at what's happening with our economic drivers in this state, the time is upon us. And with that, I'd tell you that the State Chamber supports HCR 21 and the efforts to create economic development strategy plan for Alaska.
Wayne, as always, thank you for being a presence here in the state capitol. We always appreciate your insight. Are there questions for Wayne? I don't see any. We thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
If we can go offline next to Andy Varner with Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference. Andy, are you with us?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
If you'll introduce yourself, your affiliation, and offer us your testimony, please.
Okay, thank you, Chairman Ramirez, and members of this committee. For the record, my name is Andy Varner, and I'm the Executive Director of the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference, also known as SWAMC. And SWAMC is an Alaska Regional Development Organization, or ARDER. And we're a board member and one of the founding members of the Alaska Partnership for Economic Development that a few of the other folks alluded to, but undertook the Alaska Forward Initiative. And as you all are probably aware, the Phase 1 report recently came out, and we encourage all of you to read it or at least take a look at the executive summary. Swansea's mission is to advance economic development in Southwest Alaska, and we are responsible for our region's own economic development plan. To get to the point of this resolution, we support HCR 21 and the establishment of an economic development planning committee that will oversee the visions and strategies that will encourage economic development in Alaska. As I see it, the commission would serve as a clearinghouse for the legislature regarding economic development activities in the state of Alaska. And its value to lawmakers is that the commission would serve as a starting point for necessary policy changes or regulatory management discussions that could derive from efforts like the Alaska Forward Initiative or the Legacy Initiative. The commission can make recommendations on various tools and resources necessary to advance economic development efforts in the state. But perhaps most importantly, the commission would be a mutual partnership between state government and the private sector. And the emphasis that I added, it should be that both parties in this are moving together in practice and one is not leading the other. And I think they tried to structure this commission in such a way that both parties are kind of marching step in step, if you will. So in summation, the commission presents a way to streamline some of the activities and efforts to strengthen and diversify our state's economy, and that's why we're in support. So thank you very much for taking this testimony.
Andy, always a pleasure to hear from you. Any questions for Andy Varner? Andy, I don't see any here at the table. We thank you very much for taking time to help us today understand the benefits of HCR 21 for Southwest. Thank you very much. Can we go next to Marty Mativa with the Alaska Partnership for Economic Development? Marty, are you with us?
Mr. Chairman.
Welcome.
Yeah, wow, thank you. For the record, my name is Marty Mativa. Officially, I am the executive director of Matsu RC&D, which is also one of the 12 arters around the state. But today, I'm wearing my volunteer hat as the president of Alaska Partnership for Economic Development, or betterly known as APED. And I also was one of the founding We were one of the founding fathers and was on the board and recently became president. And just briefly, talk a little bit about the Alaska Forward Project, which Andy and Susan alluded to earlier, and Aaron and Rob. Just a brief update. Andy is correct. You do have the full report and the executive summary, which was delivered to you last week, I believe, by John Torgerson. But this is a labor of love from the Arters who started this organization. We saw a need for an economic development strategy, a statewide strategy, and we were just the lead agency that decided to undertake this. So as we move forward, phase one has been completed, and phase one was a situation analysis or an economic reality check, if you would, of where we are now. And we didn't want to reinvent the wheel, so one of the first things, the steps was to we hired and contracted with three well-known firms, consulting firms, IHS Global, Economic Competitiveness Group, and to a local specialist, the McDowell Group, to ground truth their findings to keep them in line with Alaska's needs. this process was, phase one was recently completed, as we said, and some of the interesting things that I really want to discuss on phase one of situation analysis that relate to HCR 21 is part of the data was driven from online surveys and with over 75 economic development practitioners. And some of the interesting facts that came out from the public, who first of all, the model we used was the Puget Sound model, Prosperity Partnership, and they used the same process along with the online survey, and we received over 300 business and community leaders answered our online survey, which was more than Puget Sound, which is three times the populace base of us. And over the leaders that responded, 52% of them feel that economic development efforts in the state have been ineffective. And 61% of them felt that, at best, the outlook for the Alaska's economy over the next 10 years are very uncertain. 2.5 felt that the economic development efforts have been very effective, and only 6% felt the outlook of the economic development efforts for the next 10 years are very good. In short, I think the message that was delivered or some of the information that we found was that they felt that there was a lack of leadership on economic development from the state level. And I believe that HCR 21 addresses that issue boldly, and with this partnership, developing the partnership, the private-public partnership, which is needed for any economic development effort in any state, and there are models that have been proven and mentioned in HCR 21. What I really liked about this, what I really, how I think this is going to play into the phase two effort as we're moving forward to that Aaron and Rob and Susan have Bell related to, the implementation process is, that's the part we've always been missing in the state of Alaska. We have wonderful reports that have been done, beautiful binders put on a shelf and never looked at again. I mean, they've always missed that implementation. And we need that private-public partnership, and I believe that the HCR 21 addresses that, and this will create that public-private partnership that will help the implementation of this plan and help it remain sustainable for many years to come. So we fully support this as APED, and also as Metsu RC&D, one of the auditors. I fully support this, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you on this tonight.
Marty, thank you very much. Representative Newman has a question for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to my friend Marty. Welcome, Marty. I haven't talked to you for a week or two. Marty, you mentioned did you just say something about a lack of leadership? But where do you see a lack of leadership?
Well, that was through the chair to Representative Newman. One of the comments that was well echoed by many of the online surveys of the respondents mentioned this. This wasn't my personal comment. It was a consensus from the stakeholders where lack of statewide leadership and coordination of economic development resources can be seen as obstacles past and present. So they didn't, again, through the chair, Representative Newman, they didn't mention anything specific. This was just one of the comments that we heard over and over again in the general comments in the questionnaire.
Thank you, Marty. And, okay. And I'm glad that this was what you felt comments, because the deputy commissioner is here listening to you, so wouldn't want to get you in trouble. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Marty, seeing no other questions, we thank you very much for your help and for your testimony. Can we go next to Christy Bell at University of Alaska? Christy, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Christy Bell. I am the director of the University of Alaska Center for Economic Development. The mission of the center is to leverage the University of Alaska system to support statewide economic development. I also have sat as a steering committee member on the Alaska Forward Project and have been actively engaged through the phase one process. Our organization is also a member of APED. I also had the privilege of being one of President Hamilton's designees to the legacy process, so I've been involved in both of these groups closely. I support the efforts of HCR 21 and the effort specifically towards being the bridge that brings not only the legislative body into the economic development conversation, but encourages the legislative body to be more actively engaged in that conversation and establishing a vision and strategies that will encourage a more collaborative approach to economic development here in Alaska. So I commend you all for taking this step and at least being willing to engage in this conversation and looking at where next steps may lay. I agree with the comments already made regarding how this, how all of us moving forward and looking at not only economic development, but establishing visions and strategies relating to economic development, that it be a more inclusive process all around, not only inclusive of private industry and entities like the State Chamber of Commerce, the State of Alaska, the legislative body, the University of Alaska, other institutes of higher learning, and the economic development organizations, but reaching out across Alaska. I would also like to encourage the incorporation of potential additional language to this HDR 21 that may consider the inclusion of either a nonprofit or an economic development organization and/or some mechanism for working closely with Alaska Forward and Legacy to really ensure this net end of breaking down some silos and encouraging all these groups to work together. So again, I commend this group for taking this leadership step, and thank you for this opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you very much, Christy. We appreciate you taking time out to offer your testimony. Are there any questions for Christy Bell? Christy, I don't see any. We do thank you for adding your testimony. I want to remind you and other folks in the room, this bill goes to Labor and Commerce, and then we'll have a Finance Committee referral. Christy, thank you. If we can bring up the Deputy Commissioner for Commerce and Economic Development to add your remarks to the record, we'd be very appreciative. Always a privilege, Deputy Commissioner.
Fair enough. For the record, Curtis Thayer, Deputy Commissioner of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. I guess first off, you know, legislation such as this I feel is needed. You know, I'm not here to defend the previous administration and the economic development plan that was started. But I want to tell you where we are and where we're moving forward. You know, one of the first things with the Office of Economic Development and with the department as a whole, and that was is we established was what we call a 120-day action plan of what we needed to do. One of the things that we needed to do that it was to create an inventory of economic development opportunities for Alaska. We've done that. It's not a complete document, but we have over 100 projects that has been identified, whether it was identified during the Parnell, Murkowski, Palin, Knowles administration, pick the administration. We've actually pulled those forward to look to see where they're at, and at the same time, look what we need to add from legislators, from the communities, and from the different ARDA regions of where their economic priorities are. That's one thing that we never had was an inventory within the department. We've also done a SWOT analysis of the economic challenges that we have. We're working with the Alaska Forward to create a non-governmental structure for an economic board. We support the governor's funding of $100,000 towards Alaska Forward. We've also hired a new director of the Office of Economic Development, Juanita Ayers. She's in the audience today. This is day three, so please be gentle with her. It's day three, but she's been down here at Juneau a lot. She brings a lot of expertise into the role. We've also identified a business outreach officer who interfaces with the private sector to facilitate projects. It also serves kind of as an ombudsman for small businesses and businesses that have trouble with the state of Alaska, of how they can do business with the state of Alaska and try to break down some of those silos that we've discussed. Also work with state agencies to remove the impediments for growth and to promote the investment in the state of Alaska. We also are in the process of reviewing legacy. The governor has met with the legacy groups. We continue to meet with legacy groups and to look where the next phase of legacy is. And that's where we like to see it combine and work with Alaska Forward. Really, we don't need two structures out there. We need one, and we need to be working together. And I think Alaska Forward provides that transition for us. We also need to work with the community outreach plan to get the communities more involved than what they have been. With that, we have been meeting with ADA and ASME and ATIA and organizations that the state funds, but we haven't had a coordinated message with. In addition, we have state mining opportunities. Fishing, mariculture are issues that we're looking at. Got three different people working on that issue alone and to see how we can bring a new fisheries into Alaska. And I think that sea trade was a perfect example of a private-public partnership, where we took a concept where Alaska Act was involved. We went down to Miami. We met with the governor, joined us, and quite frankly, I think we hit a home run. For the first, you know, we've seen a 17% decline in tourism. 140,000 less people are coming to Alaska, and we're working to try to figure out how do we turn that tide? How do we bring the tourism back to Alaska, and what issues are needed? And that, I think, was a home run. And we need to continue where we can partner with the private sector, with the public, to bring new industries into Alaska. But I think with that, you know, there's a lot going on. You know, it's still, I think, early in the process. I think I've been on the job a little over 3 months. We have a fairly new team in place. We're making some changes within the staffing structure of OED, within the Department of Commerce, so we're more proactive instead of actually just waiting for the phone to ring. So with that, I think I'm open for questions.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony. Are there questions? Representative Newman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Curtis, Alaska First, can you, I'm not familiar with what that is.
Alaska Forward?
Or Forward.
That was the organization, that was a structure that they've provided testimony on, where the artists gathered funding with through the Denali Commission to put forth and look at economic planning for the state and where it's going. Marty Mativa, that was his organization. And that's really where we had legacy, and where legacy needs to transition into it. We, you know, and the one thing I don't believe in, and that's something that goes back to ATIA and ASME and ADA, we should not be in competition. We need to figure out where our strengths are. And I think where the state needs to go in the legacy process is to work with Alaska Forward, because we need that private sector input. We need the input from all regions of the state. You know, the one thing with Governor Parnell, you know, his vision of economic development is not the state leading the effort. We can foster economic development, but also the state of Alaska needs to know when to step back and stay out of the way. And that's one of the things that I've had when we've taken this inventory of Alaska projects, where we can move forward, is where there's private sector involvement, those are the projects that you can most likely succeed. If it's government employees pushing the ball or the rock, it's only going to be pushing the rock uphill. So really, it's going back into the private sector. And that's one of the focuses that we have, that I have, and the department has.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Curtis, you sound like our chair about, hey, you know what? Sometimes government needs to get out of the way and let private industry take over and do what they do, because they're pretty darn good at it at times. So the Alaska Forward program, and again, does that work with the orders? I mean, I think what I heard you say is that's probably a very good way, or a very good way to move forward on expanding economic development opportunities by, again, working with the private sector to expand those.
Precisely. We need to identify and figure out where we need to work together, and again, where the state does not have a role, or a state has a limited role.
Follow-ups. And just, you talk about expanding tourism opportunities, and one thing that we hear a lot about is when people come to the state of Alaska and go fishing, or we hear from Alaskans, you know, or people, and they have trouble catching a fish. And my concern is they go back and tell people, geez, we weren't very successful or combat fishing, and try and expand on that. There was some money put forward or suggested to be moved forward towards ASME, and I suggested maybe to the director that, you know, this is a seafood marketing opportunity here that affects both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you feel that would be a fair play to maybe split any increases in that to try and help promote the seafood that you can catch in our river systems throughout the state? We've just had a recently done economic survey in just in the core area, mm-hmm. Of South Central. $750 million worth of economic development is surrounds around that. You know, that's a tremendous amount of money, $1.4 billion total. You know, into the sport fisheries like that. Do you think that? You know, has a concept that should maybe be looked at a little bit further?
I think it probably does. It's something we need to look at. I don't want to speak for ASME or their funding, because a lot of their money is...
Direct your response through the chair. I'd be grateful.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman Ramirez, through the chair. That is something that I can't speak for ASME, but I would be more than glad to sit down and talk to Ray and see what we can do. But for one thing, for sure, the Office of Economic Development, that is something we need to look at doing. Yes, and I can work with the office to do it, and then to see where maybe we can tie ASME into it.
Just one more follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Representative Newman.
Just to make sure we follow protocol, and Mr. Thayer, Mr. Thayer, if you'd like a little assistance on protocol in the committee process, I'd be glad to help you out so you don't get in trouble with the chair again. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, we thank you very much, Deputy Commissioner, for your insight and for your hard work and for the role that you're playing in redefining this position. You're really helping to reshape DCCED into a very responsive department. I'm grateful for your leadership that you brought over the last few months. We also have available to answer questions Ted Leonard or Tam Cook. Are there any questions for either of these folks that are standing by? I don't see any. Is there anybody else in the room who wishes to testify or anybody else online? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. What are the wishes of the committee? Representative Newman.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Concurrent Resolution Number 21, version /E, from committee with any attached fiscal notes or individual recommendations.
Seeing no objection, and this...
I think it was /S was the CS.
Oh, right. Thank you very much, Rob. We appreciate that. Representative Tuck?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to object for purposes of offering an amendment.
Okay. Representative Tuck has objected. We do have version S, as in Sam, before us. Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a conceptual amendment let me take over the bill real quick. I'm sorry. Change the second page.
See, S version.
Version. On the second page, lines 3 and lines 4, to allow one public member to be appointed by a minority leader of the Senate and a public member to be appointed by a minority leader in the House.
So we have conceptual amendment number 1 before us. Is there an objection? Seeing no objection, conceptual amendment number 1 passes. We now have the CS for HCR 21 before us. Version S is in SAM.
I remove my objection.
Thank you. Representative Tuck removes his objection. HCR 21 passes from committee. It's 10 minutes past 6. We're adjourned.